We're doing our class in Jewish history. We're up to the year 2516. Yeshua had passed away, and the elders continue to judge the people. And we're having our battles with the Kanani. We're having our battles in order to conquer the land of Israel. So the elders had their tradition from Yehoshua, right? And amongst the elders, we have Kalev. And Kalev is, in fact, one of the main elders. He's one of the great Talmidei Chachamim of the time. We also have Pinchas, who's also one of the great elders of the time. And the next generation of leaders is headed by Otniel ben Kenaz. He's going to be our first judge. And Otniel is actually Kalev's younger brother. So Otniel ben Kenaz is Kalev's, he shares a mother with Kalev, and he ultimately marries Kalev's daughter. He marries his niece, which is permissible, it's a mitzvah. He judged Israel, Otniel judged Israel for 40 years. Included in those 40 years are 8 years in which we were under Kushan Rishathaim. Meaning 8 of those years we were under Kushan Rishathaim. And at that time, the Kohen Gadol was Pinchas. So Yehoshua gave over to the elders. Otniel received from Yehoshua, and Otniel will give over to Ehud. There's a medrash that says that. So Rambam says that when we go Yehoshua, Otniel, Ehud, so he holds that the third in line was actually Pinchas. So there's different opinions as to where exactly the tradition. We know they were two great leaders at the time. Who was the one who actually gave over the tradition? So that's a machloket he brings over here. He brings over here that Otniel was really also Nachshon ben Aminadav. That's, you want to know Gilgulim. With the concepts of Gilgulim, Nachshon ben Aminadav, when he allowed the sea to overtake him as he tried to advance in the sea that was supposed to split, in that merit he came back as Otniel ben Kenaz, who delved into the sea of Torah and brought back the 300 halachot that were forgotten in Moshe's period of mourning, when we were mourning Moshe. And that's what they say, Nachshon is the letters, Choneinu Shin. Hashem, have mercy upon us, give us the 300 halachot that were forgotten. So he brings all kinds of ideas here, that Ochsa, his wife, was a Gilgul of Tzipora. Okay, we'll move forward. You want to see Gilgulim, you look here. According to our tradition, the story of Pesel Micha, where Micha erected an idol, and then the tribe of Don adopted that idol, and the story of Pilegesh Begiva, those two stories happen now, during the time of Otniel ben Kenaz, under the reign of Kushan Rishathaim. Our sages say that Pilegesh Begiva is written in the end of Judges, even though it happened earlier, according to one opinion, because the Talmud, the prophet didn't want to begin the book of Judges with such a story. So we were oppressed by Kushan Rishathaim, and that's what spurned the Jews to do tshuva, and then under Otniel they were able to fight Kushan Rishathaim. Others say that right after Otniel died, that's when Pesel Micha and Pilegesh Begiva happened, but he says that's not right. He says it happened during his lifetime. On the 23rd of Shvat, that's when the Jews gathered to fight the tribe of Benjamin over the story of Pilegesh Begiva, coming right up, the 23rd of Shvat. And that's when 1,000 of the tribe of Benjamin said, we don't want to fight. We don't agree with this battle against the rest of Israel. And so they left Israel, and they went to live in the islands of Rome. And the Abarbanel writes that till today, we don't know where those Jews disappeared to. So that's a medrash, that they traveled away. Others say they traveled to Germany, or Germiza. That's what we call worms. And they traveled far away. This element of the tribe of Benjamin, they said, we're not having a part of this. The day in which the story of Pelegesh Begiva happened, the guy was rushing, it was almost sunset, it was Shabbos. That's what we have in Tractate Gittin. So here he quotes more Gilgulim about what exactly happened with Pelegesh Begiva, but that's for you to look up later. Pesel Micha was in Israel, the verse says, until we went to exile. So there are different interpretations as to what that means. Which exile? Does it mean the time the Aron was taken into exile and the end of the period of Judges? So Seder Olam writes that it was there till the days of Tzidkiyah, the final king of Israel. But the Radak and the Ralbag say, how could it be? King David was so pious. King Solomon was so pious. How could it be that they allowed an idol to stay in the tribe of Dan? That can't be. And that's why they want to say it means when the ark was exiled in the end of the period of Judges, that's what it means. So it says the tribe of Dan went up to an area called Leshem, and that's what they conquered together with the idol of Pesel Micha. And the waters of the Jordan emanate up there in what's called the Chatzbani. They come out of a cave. And in front of that cave, it says you could see an altar there. That was the altar that was erected for the idol of Micha. And it says you can see up there next to it, you see the altar, I guess, for whatever reason it was left intact. You can also see the altar of Yeravam ben Nevat, all the way up there on the top of the north. And that's what's called the Banyas, and that's what in our sages called Pamayas. It says that Shmuel, the son of Gershon, the son of Moshe Rabbeinu, was buried there in that cave. And there's a tree over there called the tree Sandean. And Ido, the prophet, is also buried over there. And there's a tree where he's buried called the Butus. And there's another cave up there, not far away. That's where Abai and Rav are buried. Abai and Rav are buried all the way in the north by the Banyas. We move on to the year 2556.
Is it the place up north of Israel?
Yeah, I think so. We're up to the year 2556, and Ehud judged the Jewish people 80 years from the year 2556. To the year 2666, 80 years. And included in those are 11 years when we were subservient to Eglon, the Moabite king. He's our third judge. He's the fourth in the tradition, right? We had Moshe gave to Yoshua. Yoshua to the elders. The elders to Otniel. Otniel to Ehud. Ehud. So Ehud is the fourth. In the end of his days, so Shamgar ben Anat, who was a Kohen, was also the judge. They overlapped. And he ruled together with Ehud. They had an overlap. And that brings us to the year 2636, the period of Dvorah and Barak. So Dvorah and Barak are going to rule together. Some say they were husband and wife. Two opinions among the commentaries, and they're going to be the judges for 40 years, from 2666 to 2676. And they are considered the fifth judge. Now, within their period, when they were rulers, there were 20 years where we were under Yavin, the king of the north, and Barak was the fifth in the tradition. He received from Ehud, and one opinion says that Barak was an Amoritz. There are two opinions as to how we view Barak. Barak was Dvorah's partner, but was he learned or not? One opinion says he was an Amaretz, and what he'd do is he had his mitzvah. He would make wicks for the temple, for Shiloh. It says he had three names, Barak, Michael, and Lapidot. If you go to the village of Kedesh, so near the village of Kedesh, you see the burial of Dvorah and Barak ben Avinom and Yael and her husband Hever. The four of them are buried together. Yael, Hever, Barak, and Dvorah. So there's a lot of in the Gilgulim here, who Dvorah was, when Dvorah got her prophecy. So Barak separated from her for 40 years, the 40 years when she was leader. So that corresponds to Moshe and the 40 years with his wife. Okay. And who was Yael, the wife of Hever? Also a big discussion. Was she a reincarnation of Rachav? We're not dealing with that too much. They want to say that she came back in the form of Yehudis by Hanukkah. Just like Yael killed Sisra, so too Yehudit killed the Roman governor, put him to sleep and killed him. We move on. So Sisra came with 40,000 generals, and each one had 100,000 soldiers. It says Sisra was 30 years old, and he had already conquered the world. And there was no one who could stand up to him. He could take down any fortification, any wall. And he was so powerful that if he would yell, any animal would stop in its tracks. No animal was willing to take down Sisra. And it says when the Medrash says that he had such a big beard that when he'd go down to wash in the Kishon River, so his beard would come up so many fish that a few people could have a meal off of the fish that they'd pluck out of his beard. It says that his group of chariots that went out, he had 500 chariots when he'd go to war, and that's in this war, not one came back in peace. So that's the story of Sisra, the great warrior. And with that, we conclude the period of Dvorah and Barak. We're up to the period of Gideon, the son of Yoash, from the tribe of Menashe. Okay, so he's going to be judged for 40 years, and he's the sixth in our tradition. The Seder HaDorot is going with the opinion that each of these were learned enough to be a part of our tradition. We said not everyone agrees with that, but that's how he's going with that opinion.